Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Welcome into our friends in Reno here as we wind down the work week on Friday, April the 12th. Greatest sports time of the year. Greg Salerno's out at the Golden Circle at TI. Candy in for Cofield. DeMond alongside as well. Let's jump into the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Right now in Augusta, Georgia, second round of the Masters, we have a three-way tie for the lead with Bryson DeChambeau, Max Homa, and Scottie Scheffler, who finds himself in a bit of an interesting situation. We've all had to do the dance at times between stuff we have to do for work, stuff we have to do for family, stuff we have in our personal lives that we have to take care of. Now, I have never been in the position of having to figure out what do I do in my seven-figure job when I have a family obligation or I need to take care of my seven-figure job. But Scottie Scheffler's going to have to deal with that this weekend. And it brings up an absolutely fascinating question to me because I think we all know what the real easy answer that when you're hanging out with your significant other, especially if you're hanging out with your significant other's friends and you get asked this question, it's really easy when they say to you, if you find yourself in Scottie Scheffler's situation where your wife is expecting and she happens to be expecting right now, as in like this weekend, as in like he might get the call while he's on the course that the baby is coming. Scottie Scheffler right now is in the lead at the Masters going into the weekend. He is playing some of the absolute best golf of his life. So would you, Greg Salerno, would you, if your partner, wife, significant other, were in a position where she said, hey, the baby's coming. She calls you. The baby is on its way. And you're in Augusta, Georgia, and you have the lead in the second round of the Masters. This is on recorded media, okay? This exists forever. This is not something you can say in the background where you're recording your answer. Are you leaving?
Hell no. Man, I worked my whole life for this, and I'm in the lead right. He's tied for the lead right now. How long did it take to make the baby? 10 minutes? I mean, come on, man. I've been working since I was like, you know.
10 minutes?
I don't know. How long? Whatever.
What sort of Iron Man are you?
Well, I haven't
10 minutes.
That's true. But let's just say he lasted longer than we think.
10.
Anyways.
Oh, wow. Humble brag for Greg Salerno. Took me 10 minutes to make the baby. Wow. Congratulations to you, big dog.
No way. And even if you look at it not selfishly, that's going to help the baby later. If I win the Masters, your future's set. If I don't win the Masters, we might be eating out of trash cans. You have no idea, you know? So no way. No way in hell am I leaving at any point, especially when I got the lead right now.
Now, Scottie Scheffler has won the Masters in the past, and I think he's won enough money in his career that there will be no trash cans for future meals. But, DeMond, same situation. Your partner says to you, the baby's on the way. I need you here right now. Do you pretend that you never got the call? Do you give a new number? Who's this? Do you just say my notifications were on silent? Oh, there's no coverage in Augusta. Or are you on your way? Are you on the first private jet out?
I am staying, but I do want to say this with a caveat. If this was a team sport player where you just get your guaranteed, you know, paycheck and this is my game check, I would skip it. But if you win the prize money for winning the Masters, I'm just going off of last year's numbers, so maybe we can bump it up a little bit, $3.24 million. I'm doing this for our family. If I win this, that's an extra $3 million that we can provide for our new child.
Yeah, that's Don Staley's money for an entire year, you said.
Yes.
I mean,
so I think the wife is just gonna have to understand.
I get it because I don't know how many times I'm going to be leading the Masters going into the weekend. What if he gets this call after Saturday's round and he's up five shots? Like, I don't know how many times I'm going to be leading the Masters, just like Greg said, I could put 10 more minutes of effort into this, and there could be another child down the road somewhere. I know that this is recorded media, and I do not want to say out loud that I would stay and I would go after that green jacket. So I will just say, I'm never winning the Masters. Never have to make the decision.
That ruins the hypothetical question, though. You have to think you're going to win.
No. Nothing's ruined. Nothing's ruined. Everything's fine. Everything's completely fine. I am just far too chicken to ever say this in a way that could come back to haunt me later. I'm far too scared of my significant other to answer this question. Yeah. So can't go there. Sorry, boys. Number three. We know that yesterday marked not only a momentous day in the history of sports, but obviously in the history of American culture with the passing of O.J. Simpson at the age of 76 to cancer. And some people, well, they marked the day in a different way. We got on here and we did our usual gas bag thing, and we talked about, some people call it a complicated legacy. I don't think it's all that complicated for O.J. Simpson. But a memorabilia shop over in Tivoli Village reported that they saw a spike in OJ memorabilia sales yesterday. 40 sales of OJ related items at this shop. Greg, is this smart business? Is this morbid? Like, what is this?
I have no problem selling the stuff. Like, if I had OJ stuff, I mean, what am I going to do with it? You know, I need money and whatever, I'll sell it. The weirdos buying it, I don't get it. I mean, the guy just died yesterday, and he was accused of a double murder, and you're going to go buy his stuff, put it on your shelf? I mean, to me, it's kind of weird, but I don't know. I would sell my stuff, though, if I had it.
I get the concept that an artist's work becomes more valuable after they die. Generally, though, those artists are not O.J. Simpson-level complicated, as some people like to put it, in terms of their background. So here's what I would like to propose. If you're one of those 40 people, 702-364-1100, we'd love to hear from you here on Cofield & Company. But if you are one of those people, I think we need to create something that's like the sex offender registry, where the memorabilia shop has to take your name. They're required to. It's like you're buying some sort of a controlled substance. They have to record who's buying it. There has to be a list that is then put on the internet that I can search. And anytime that, let's say, I'm out at a bar talking to somebody, or, I know that I have to go to a party with friends or something like that, I want to be able to check right there on my device. I want to be able, if you say to me, hey, we're going out tonight, and say your significant other, who are we going out with? Oh, my friends from work, Bob and Stacy. Oh, Bob and Stacy. What are their last names? Do they live in Henderson, or is that North Las Vegas? Just let me know so I can, no reason, because I want to put them into the registry of people that we need to have for people who bought OJ memorabilia the day after the guy died yesterday. I want to never associate with you. I want to be nowhere near you. I want to pretend that you do not exist if you are the kind of ghoul who's out there trying to make a buck on OJ memorabilia yesterday. If you walked into a shop and you said, hey, I want to get that Juice signed helmet over there. And they're like, oh, really? You're a big collector? They're like, no, I'm just thinking I can probably spin this thing on eBay. Yeah? Yeah, you're going to make $300? Yeah, you're going to make $400 on OJ's helmet? You sign this paper right here. We're putting it online. We're making sure everybody knows who you are.
Is it like when you go to a Home Depot and you buy too much stuff to make explosive with or something, and they just put your name on a list, that kind of thing? Is that what you're saying?
Remember Walt in Breaking Bad when he figured out that those people were buying the same things that he needs to make meth, and he followed him out into the parking lot? Yeah, that's going to be me. I'm going to make sure that I put a tracker on that car, and if it ever gets near me, that AirTag ever comes within 100 feet of me, I'm running the other direction. Number two.
Number two.
Brett Favre news today. I did not expect that we'd be talking about Brett Favre. Greg, that is a Brett Favre story that you sent over, right? Is that not a? Oh, that's Tom Brady talking about a comeback. It's Tommy. Tommy's talking about. Oh God, why are we doing this again? Okay, Tom Brady apparently has a dream to become like Brett Favre, where we always have to keep open the option that he might just be coming back one more time. What's going on here, dude?
Well, first of all, he says not just come back at the start of the season. He's saying, like, if a team in the middle of the season and he's just sitting around, you know, doing whatever he's doing, supermodels, whatever he's doing, and all of a sudden he decides mid-season without any training camp or anything that he wants to come in and play for a team, that he might do it, and it would have to be either the Raiders or, I think he said, the Patriots. So he would do either one of those mid-season to come. Now, I just he's like a cockroach. Like, I don't understand. He just die already. Like, go away. Not die literally, but go away. I don't know. I mean, you had the greatest career ever. All you could do is tarnish it at this point. Just go away. Go. You have so much money, so much time. You're a good-looking guy. Just go do your stuff.
Yeah, he's a handsome cockroach.
I mean,
he's a cockroach that will make me, he'll make me think twice. But wow. When I think about his concerns about the Raiders or the Patriots and needing to come back mid-season to give them a boost, if you look at the current state of both of these franchises, I think we can pretty safely say that's a hypothetical. I don't think we're going to have to worry about Tom Brady coming back to save the Raiders or the Patriots playoff hopes anytime soon. That's probably something that we can keep right there on the back burner. Number one.
Number one.
Guys, I have been covering sports in some capacity for the better part of 25 years. I feel like I have seen some stuff. One thing I have not seen is a whip inside a stadium. Frankly, I've never seen a whip in person. Sorry, those who thought I was some sort of weird Dom guy. But no, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. Guys, I sent this over to you because I could not believe what I was looking at. So this is an absolutely insane story coming out of soccer. In the Saudi Super Cup final, I'm just going to read this directly off ESPN. An angry spectator whipped a player from the stands during an argument after this tournament. And it's exactly what you think it is. So this guy is arguing. The player is arguing from down the stands. And I'm going to leave that for you to think about. To think about someone arguing with a player on the field. That player throws a cup of water up at the guy. How would you respond? What would you choose to do if someone from on the field threw a cup of water at you? I know that I would be thinking about calling Battleborn injury lawyers and trying to find out more about what my options are for potentially being able to make some money off this. This guy dealt with it differently. How did he deal with it? We're going to tell you a little bit more on the way back.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield and Company, your number one Las Vegas show for discussion of whips at sporting events. This is what we were talking about before the break. At a game in the Saudi Super Cup, player gets into an argument with a guy in the stands. Player throws a cup of water at the guy. As the player is headed down the tunnel to leave the game, the man who is, for your visualization, in a full Saudi thob, like he's wearing the full outfit, this guy pulls out a whip. A long whip, like long enough to reach down from the stands and whip this dude in a tunnel. A whip. Let's pick a place to start, because I'm not sure whether to start with, bro, you own that whip? Bro, you thought to bring that whip to a soccer game? Security. When you noticed that this man brought a whip into the stadium, what did you think he had it there for? And why was that okay? And then sort of the male-to-male argument piece of when does it go from water to whip? Because I feel like there might be a step or two in there for me. Greg, where do you want to start?
Well, I don't want to be an edgelord here, but just being honest with myself, I know if I have a whip on me and someone throws water on me, they're getting whipped. I mean, that's just this is what's going to happen. I'm doing the old. Remember when Django's whipping those two hillbillies and they're both falling all over the place? They started scattering to pick up their hat or whatever. I'm just hitting this guy over and over and over. Whatever I got to do, man, because that's just I just know how I am. I'm very reactionary. I wouldn't be able to control myself. Now, if I didn't have the whip on me, of course, I'm not going to plan it out, go find a whip just for this case to happen. But if someone throws water on me and I'm equipped with a whip, the whip is getting used.
Damon, you a whip guy?
No, I can't say that I am, Candy. But I don't think that the player really much enjoyed this. And you saw the backlash as the guys, everybody started to charge and do the, hey, we're going to come up there move. But to me, I know when people say, hey, fans are wild, and we're going to talk about, you know, some fans in our next block, you know, how rowdy American fans can get. But this just shows me that soccer fans are on a whole nother level. They are passionate.
If you are considering charging into the stands to go after this fan, consider this. He started at whip. Whip is his opening offering. I have a feeling whip is not his final offering. I think that the man, probably because he had a friend with him, there might be more than whip available to this dude. Although, let me tell you, if it is whip where he started, if all he has is whip, I'm not going in the stands. This dude's insane. This dude is absolutely, he might go full Tyson Holyfield on me. Like, there's no chance I'm going after the dude with the whip. I'm just going to let that one go. If I look like I'm taking a public L, let me take that public L.
But wouldn't you want to see the malice in the Saudi palace? I mean, I want that more than anything. If those players would have actually gotten up there, what does he have? He can't whip us all. Come on.
Well, if he has a whip, though, how many other guys in the stand have a whip as well? Then all of a sudden everybody's getting whipped.
I feel like I've read a little coverage about bone saws not all that long ago that mean that I am not going to be pushing my limits when it comes to what might be next from that dude in the stands, Damon.
Real quick, you also, now that you mentioned that, you don't know who he is. You don't know why he's got that kind of access.
That could be the younger cousin.
It could be that guy. Remember that guy that's like standing around in that video? They turn it into a meme. That guy's standing in the video looking all tough. He looks like a security guard from Ross or something. And he has his arms folded. Yeah, Damon's doing it. Right. It could be that guy. And all of a sudden,
security guard.
You're right.
The notoriously badass security guard from Ross. You are not coming in here and stealing these discount Sanooks. All right, buddy? You are not getting those on my watch. Yeah, it's wild times out there, man. Wild times, obviously, in the stands there. I mean, and we've had a lot of discussion as we've gotten more and more into the era of not only NIL and transfers and legal sports betting and so on. But the transfer portal has also brought about a lot of, shall we say, Damon, some of the worst of people's behavior.
Yes, it has. And I want to say that on both sides it has. I know that some fans think, oh, we can't get attached to our players. These kids, they just want to leave at the first sight of some money. But sometimes it's not the kids' choice. The schools are coming to them and be like, hey, brother, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not going to be doing it here next year.
And that has been easier and easier to accomplish in the current era. So, you know, what do we do here? Like, what do we do in dealing with this? A good deep dive story into this over at The Athletic. Damon, why don't you go ahead and fire what we've got on the audio here.
So we didn't get into the playoff, and then we started having quickly conversations of what the future was going to look like, and that's just the reality of college football now is everything moves so fast with the transfer portal window opening right after the season. So they thought they should move in one way, and I accordingly thought I should move in another, and that's just the reality. It's the business. And so kind of on short notice, didn't know where I was going to be when I put my name in the portal, and just kind of to see what was going to happen. And some guys get in the portal, they know where they're going. That wasn't the case for me. I really had no idea.
So you hear a college athlete talking like that and you think to yourself, okay, I mean, that sounds like a kind of day-to-day story. They thought that I'd be going one way and I thought I'd be going another, right? We're talking about what, maybe a third string wide receiver somewhere. No, That is absolutely not the case. We are talking about the starting quarterback for Ohio State University, Kyle McCord. Now, Kyle McCord was certainly not on the level of some other quarterbacks who were at the very top of the playoff level in college football, DeMond, but it's striking to me to hear a guy at that level talking like that.
Yes, Kyle McCord, they only lost one game. That one game was to Michigan. But Ohio State, they have now beefed up their NIL. They got in a quarterback that they deem is more right for their program. And guess where he transferred to? Syracuse. And guess who added Syracuse to their schedule this year? UNLV. So if UNLV gets a non-con loss on their schedule when they play Syracuse this year because Ohio State didn't think Kyle McCord was good enough, I am going to be peeved. That's the local connection, guys. So when we play Syracuse, for everybody out there listening, I say we, UNLV, I went to the school. When UNLV plays Syracuse, and you're like, man, that Syracuse quarterback, he's a little too good to be at Syracuse. Yeah, that's because Ohio State told him to hit the bricks.
What do you think, Greg? You should DeMond be mad about this? Does DeMond get to be mad about this? Should he get to make this all about him?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course, if it's something you're looking at yourself, you're gonna think of it differently than everybody else. But I mean, I think in the long run, it could help UNLV too. I mean, you know, we could get a player we probably never would have gotten at some point through that same portal if this continues. And honestly, anything that pisses off Nick Saban and the ilk of Nick Saban makes me happy. So watching him cry and complain about players going to better their futures and stuff just makes me laugh. So I'm a big fan of the portal. I'm also a big fan of the NIL. So I think it's a good thing, but yeah, I can see how DeMond would take it personal.
I'm also taking it personal, but he was basically forced to leave. What if he's, oh man, I love Ohio State. I want to be at Ohio State. And he's basically, it's not mutual. Ohio State told him to pack his bags. You're not good enough. You're a college kid. Hey, I'm going to Ohio State. I'm committed to Ohio State. And I know we like to say, oh, the portal's good for these kids, but it's also kind of bad for these kids at some of these programs where they're telling their players, I know it's, you can look at it both ways. You can both sides it. But I don't like that the coaches also have that ability to hint at the players, you're not going to be playing here anymore, so you better leave.
I think there's a downside to everything, though. I mean, like, you know, diet soda has no calories in it, but sweetener's bad for you. I mean, everything has a downside. You just have to kind of average it all out. I still think in the long run, the portal is better than it is bad. There's more good than bad.
It's worth considering the other side to this. I see where DeMond's coming from here because we talk a lot about the benefits of NIL, and you listen to this show at all, you have heard me say that college athletes need to get every dollar that they can at every turn. They are more than entitled to it, and I don't care if it's the guy at the end of the bench or the girl who you never see play. A lot of these kids, it is going to be their only opportunity to make this kind of money, and every free agent contract in professional sports doesn't work out, just like every NIL deal is not going to work out. But for the kids who have been generations before forced to make the decision between staying in school or making money, and I always point back to this example, when the Gonzalez twins were playing for the UNLV women's basketball team, Dylan and Dakota Gonzalez had a budding career when it came to modeling, when it came to a music career they were trying to get off the ground. They were staring down six figures in money that they had to decide, are we going to use our last year in school, they had one more year of eligibility coming off a very good season, or are we going to go out and make money? And they said, you know what, we're going. We're not waiting for this. We're not going to wait for our opportunity to go away. Now, I hear what DeMond's saying. Sometimes that doesn't work out as well for certain kids. But in the end, I think what Greg is saying about on balance really makes a lot of sense to me. And it's fair to say that a lot of college coaches are using this as sort of the back doorway to get back at kids, right? They don't like the fact that their best players can leave, that it is essentially a money game. They don't like it, even though they've had that same freedom for any number of years. Like, they can take off anytime they want.
Exactly.
But the kids haven't been able to take off anytime they want. Well, coaches will now use that to their advantage to say, well, okay, if we can get somebody better, you might want to consider where else you can go because, hey, you have the freedom to do it.
Also, real quick, as we wrap this up, it's also taking accountability away from the coaches. Where it's, oh, you're not coaching up your players, but we'll just go get someone better in the portal. Some of these coaches, be better.
Pelicans hold on, driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go, and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
The one and only, the national treasure of play-by-play broadcasting, Kevin Harlan on TNT, on the rejoin there on Cofield and Company, and frankly, no better rejoin to talk about our man Greg Salerno being down at the Golden Circle at TI. Candy in for Cofield, DeMond, the Finley Toyota Studios. Greg, I know you talk about the chicken salad down there at Golden Circle. Have you taken advantage of the wings?
I have not. I mean, kind of. It was chicken strips, so it was close to wings. But no, I did not try the wings. I heard they're amazing. But so far, I've tried the chicken strips, the chicken salad, and I've had one of their salads, their normal salads. And all of it was fantastic. But no, I have not tried the wings, unfortunately, yet.
Golden Circle at the Treasure Island, TI. Yeah, I've been around a long time. It's been both. Greg Salerno's down there 3 to 6 p.m. today, as we are every Friday. Great place to check out all the Masters action going on right now. We're sweating who's going to make the cut. Tiger should be among those players getting to play on the weekend here. Three-way tie for the lead going into the end of round number two in Augusta. We heard Kevin Harlan there a second ago discussing what happened last night, and guys, that's disturbing to me. What would lead someone to take a chicken wing that I guarantee at a basketball game, that one wing was probably like a $3 wing, right? Like, we know the price of chicken wings has gone up in the first place, right?
Right.
There's a reason Ricky Rose had to go thighs. But, like, when we talk about chicken wings at a stadium, that might be as valuable a property as you can get your hands on. And here's what I really don't understand, because someone out there is saying to themselves, they were drunk, so they threw it out there. Do you know when I want a chicken wing the most? When I'm drunk. It's exactly when I want a chicken wing. Guys, is there anything at a stadium, in terms of stadium food, is there anything you consider higher value than that chicken wing that could have been thrown on that floor? Now, food items, obviously. Alcohol is its own beast when it comes to that. But to me, that's as insulting as it gets.
I did buy a $60 pizza once at Yankee Stadium. Ooh. So I don't know if that counts, but that was pretty rough. I took my mom there for Mother's Day once, and I remember spending like $400 by the time we got out of there on like hats and pizza and beer, and you know, plus the fact that this guy's already drunk, that means he's already spent probably $300. So I mean, I at that point I'm not throwing anything on the court because I can't afford to lose a wing.
How a $60 pizza?
Yes.
How did this happen? Was this pizza actually served by Aaron Judge? Like, how did it get to $60?
Yeah. Well, you got a free Honda Civic with it. So, no. It was that would have been worth it. No, it was honestly not that great. You would think, you know, New York is amazing pizza. They would have, like, the best one available. It was like stadium pizza. It was like a $60 stadium pizza in the middle of Manhattan. Well, the Bronx, anyway. But I'm like, are you kidding me right now? It was pretty ridiculous, to be honest. But, you know, it was the event, so we did it, but.
All right, DeMond, you're up.
No, for your money's worth, you are crazy to throw a chicken wing. I think for cost, when you're just thinking about your average arena, popcorn would be your best option. You know, that's the most.
It would.
That's the most efficient. I'm not
like
waiting
per kernel.
Yes.
How do you get it down there? That's the problem. My issue with the popcorn is that it's not going to have the same aerodynamics. Like, I could hurl a chicken wing from the 200s, and I can make it down onto the floor, but popcorn, I'm probably just going to hit the guy in front of me who has a whip.
An angry walk down.
All right, fine. I just kind of like stomp my way down there. You know, one of the most insulting things that has ever happened to me actually has to do with a chicken wing. I'll tell you a little bit more about it on the other side here. We'll talk to our friends down at TI here in just one moment. Patrick Berbert's on set.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield and Company winding down the workday on your Friday afternoon. Steve Cofield's out. Candy, Salerno, DeMon, Findlay Toyota Studios, and of course down at the Golden Circle at the TI. Talk to Patrick Robert in just a minute here. But to finish up the story that I was telling you guys before about the most insulting thing that's ever happened to me around a chicken wing. If you didn't hear before, Kevin Harlan had a great call of a chicken wing being thrown on a basketball court last night, and he said how terrible it was to waste such a thing, to throw it there on the court. And upon meeting my current significant other, we went out for dinner on a date, you know, a month or so in, and we were looking at the menu, figuring out what we're going to order, and I suggested that we get some wings to share. And she looked at me and she went, "Oh, I didn't think you were a wing guy." I was hurt down to the core, down to the absolute deepest parts of me. And I now make a point to order chicken wings because I wouldn't order them otherwise, right? I wouldn't just eat delicious chicken wings just because it feels like a fun thing to do. I have to order them to make a point to my significant other, Greg.
That's a great point. I actually have a chicken wing thing that happened to me as well. I was sitting at a bar one time, and had been drinking for a while, let's just say, and a girl came over, and I turn around, and I'm kind of like coming in and out of consciousness, and all of a sudden, I feel something on my face. She's like painting my face with a chicken wing, like putting hot sauce on my face, like a smiley face on my face with this chicken wing, and I start freaking out at first, like, what is going on? And I start talking to this girl. Next thing you know, she's like, "Hey, can you give me a ride somewhere?" And now I've sobered up. This is like now 3 a.m. I'm like, "Yeah, sure." We go to this bar. She knows. She's like, "Oh, this guy in the back's got a package for me." I'm like, "Wait, what are we doing? Like, what am I involved in here?" You know, this guy gave us a package. It's all rolled up in like this weird paper. I'm like, "Oh my god, I just did a heroin deal with some weirdo at 3 a.m. I have no idea what's going on." We get in the car. We drive off. She opens the paper up. It's like deli paper. There's brisket in it. This girl had like a brisket guy at like 3 a.m. at some bar. We went and got free brisket and drove off in the middle of the night. It was pretty crazy.
So a girl had the confidence to walk up to you, paint you with a chicken wing, take you to a bar, get you free brisket, and why is she not sitting next to you right now?
Why is she not Mrs. Salerno? Well, you know, if you've met Mr. Salerno, you could figure that one out. So, yeah, last very long, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? Let's Patrick Berber from the Sportsbook TI, I mean, I don't know if you've got any great chicken wing stories, man, but the floor is yours.
I don't think I could top that one.
Well, first of all, you are what, a risk manager? Is that your title here?
Correct.
That sounds very mob-like to me. What exactly does a risk manager do?
We manage all the liability that comes through the betting counter, and we'll set the opening lines and then let the public and the sharps decide which way to take this.
Okay, cool. So you actually just had the NCAA tournament here, obviously huge. How was the handle for that?
This was actually a great year overall for us with the handle for the tournament. We were up 20% handle from last year for the tournament and about 10% for the championship game. So that was really good. Our numbers were really strong on UConn all year. I mean, they were just dominant.
Right.
You know, all year long, they really showed no weakness out there. So we were higher than everybody else. When the market got to 7.5, we went to 8. And you saw some people come in here and bet Purdue the other way to bring it back down. So that was good for us getting some Purdue money there.
Wow. So what do you think? Do you think like all the drama and all that other stuff, I mean, do you think that actually helped boost the money this year? I mean, for men's and women's?
Yeah, it was a great year overall. The women's tournament was one of the best of that I could remember of watching as well. So that got a bigger crowd in here, and it was able to really just be overall great for us.
Awesome. And as far as timing now, is it too soon for like future national championship bets with the portal still being open?
From a bookmaking perspective, yes. From a better perspective, I'm going to say this is the time where you want to attack and stuff.
Okay.
Especially if you have a really good lean of which players are going to come back that are key players. If you know players that enter the portal, if you have a good idea that they're going to go to that certain team. Like, for example, Kansas opened 20-1 for the championship next year. And you heard some their key guys might be coming back, like Hunter Dickinson, DeJuan Harris, KJ Adams. Johnny Furphy might not go to the draft. And Bill Self, after the year he had, you know he was going to go and attack the portal hard, and he has so far. That number is down to 10-1 at most places. So all value is lost there. So definitely from a betting perspective, it's important to attack early. From a bookmaking perspective, it's kind of hard just because there's so much uncertainty, especially this year with the coaching carousel going around.
Awesome. So the next question obviously is, have you tried the chicken salad here? Because I cannot stop talking about the chicken salad, and I think I'm obsessed with the chicken salad.
I have not, but I've had the chicken wings here many, many times.
Oh, okay.
That's a man who doesn't throw chicken wings on a court.
That's right.
A man who values his chicken wings. That's a smart man. That's why you got to trust Patrick. That's why he's managing the risk for the sportsbook. Because he is able to make sound, calculated decisions, like I'm not throwing my chicken wings, I'm consuming them.
That's great.
Greg, Greg, ask real questions. I just want to talk about chicken wings.
Well, all right. So what do you think? Like during the – this is always my question, dude. During the NFL season, I feel like it gets underplayed in Vegas because, like, you know, people come for March Madness. They come for everything, the playoffs, stuff like that. Regular NFL season games, I feel like we don't hype it up enough. Like, what do you guys do to bring people in during the NFL season?
Yeah, the NFL, like you said, it doesn't get hyped up enough. Week one of NFL is obviously the biggest week of NFL besides the Super Bowl, and then it kind of like dies down throughout the regular season until you get back to the playoffs. But overall, it's still a great handle. Nothing beats NFL Sundays, and kind of you just want to kind of accumulate to where the market is going. So like everybody's invested into player props now, so we incorporated those last year. We'll do them again as well, and you kind of just want to get people that are going to come in here and bet, because once you get them in here to bet, they're going to stay and watch the games. And as they're staying here drinking, eating, and getting into all their bets throughout the day, that will make them want to stay for the late Sunday games as well.
Absolutely.
Patrick DeMond here in studio. So I've got to ask you, you talk about props. The NFL draft is right around the corner, and we know that people love draft props. What are some that you guys are offering?
Yeah, for the NFL draft, we just put those up today. We offered first position selected for like cornerback, defensive players, offensive linemen, et cetera, of that nature. And then we also did the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth overall pick as an index prop, so you can pick which player you think is going to go at each position there. And then we also have some position props of like how many quarterbacks do you think would go in the first round, over or under. And then we also did a cool Las Vegas Raiders prop as well of which position you think they're going to draft first overall.
Patrick, when we look at NFL draft props in Las Vegas in particular, I know it's always a challenge for you guys behind the counter because it's an information market, right? And you never know who has what information, and you know, the sharp guys are always trying to stay a step ahead. How do you guys deal with a market as fluid as these NFL draft props?
Yeah, it's definitely hard. Like as you said, people definitely have inside information on what's going on. You really got to stay on top of these numbers, check around other shops to see if anybody's shifted drastically. Watch what comes across your counter. If any bet that comes through seems odd and in particular, you kind of want to look at it and assess it and be like, do we have a bad line on this? And then go from there. Yeah, you definitely have to stay on top of NFL draft if you're going to post these props.
So, Patrick, when it comes to quarterbacks and the prop, what number do you guys have it set at? And where do you think it's going to hit? Because we saw it last year with Will Levis. Will Levis was supposed to be, hey, he could be anywhere from 3 to somewhere guaranteed first rounder, and he ended up going in the second round. Do you think that maybe it just gets, you know, analysis by paralysis, I think that's the saying that people have, where they just, you know, talk themselves to death when it comes to these quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. Quarterbacks, one of the hardest props to set out there just because you never know, and there can always be like a surprise team that takes a quarterback that you don't think will take it. Right now we have the quarterback set at 4.5 over -200, -$2. I think the four quarterbacks that I think there's four teams that will definitely draft a quarterback, and those teams that we're looking at are the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots, and the Broncos. Outside of that, I think the Vikings have a really good chance to take a quarterback. And I believe teams like the Raiders and the Giants can put themselves in position. Maybe the Raiders trade up for a quarterback. And the Giants, they could get out of that Daniel Jones contract after next year. And if you remember when they drafted Daniel Jones, Eli Manning was still in the books and was going to be that star going into the year. So that could be a team. So you could look at possibly 7 teams that might end up with a quarterback in the first round.
Talking to Patrick Berber, he's the risk manager here at Golden Circle at TI. Dude, I wanted to know this. What is the weirdest? Like, I know you have to approve these props. Like, somebody has to approve these props. What's the weirdest, like, strangest prop that you've ever approved for, or that's been approved?
That's a tough one. I think it was with the NCAA tournament this past year. We did some props that were kind of hard to find, like buzzer beaters and overtime games and stuff like that. They were really hard to find around town. So,
Patrick, UFC 300 is this weekend, and we know that UFC is king here in Vegas when it comes to combat sports. Are you guys seeing any increased action with this being one of the biggest cards of all time?
Absolutely. This is going to be a phenomenal card. We're seeing a lot of action through the counter already, which is great. A lot of the fights we're seeing two-way action. A couple of the fights that are going on, you saw some sharper action on some of them, but then the public's laying into the money line parlays for the other fighter. So I think by the time these fights roll around tomorrow night, we're going to be sitting in a position where we can really enjoy a good card. And as you know, probably they raised the bonuses from 50K to 300K
for
fights and performances of the night. So you're going to see some electric stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, I made the joke that, like, every fight is going to be a slobber knocker because they're $300,000. That's more than some of these guys are going to be actually making for their fight. So everybody's going to be gunning for the knockout of the night.
Got to keep Otani's interpreter away from this one, man. Well, Patrick, thank you so much. Risk manager again over here at TI. Thanks for joining us, and I can't wait to talk to you again, man. It was
awesome.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank you.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate the time. And Damon, tell me about this. When we talk about what we might see from these fighters with the increased purses out there, I mean, this is a blood sport in the first place. Like, what do you think is going to change with the amount of money that's at stake here?
I think that the fighters are still going to be disciplined and not, you know, perform out of character, but it is $300,000 that Dana White, usually it's $50,000. Fight of the night, you know, both fighters receive that knockout of the night, submission of the night. That's $50,000. But yesterday at the media day, someone said, hey, Dana, how about you increase it for this special event? And Dana White says, well, what should it be? And then the person says, $300,000. And Dana White says, done. There are some people, $50,000 is all that they're getting to fight on the card. So if you're going to increase that to, let's say, $300,000, that's if you get a performance bonus. People are going to be gunning for a performance bonus. If me and Greg were fighting, I would just say, hey, Greg, let's just go out there and throw nothing but big punches for 15 minutes, and maybe we'll get the fight of the night. I would be gaming for that $300,000 just off the rip. That's more than we're getting paid to actually fight.
Right.
So let's just go out there and try to have the fight of the night. We'll get $300,000 each.
For $300,000, that Saudi guy can whip me. That's fine. Like, I will just stand there in the middle of the ring, and that Saudi dude can break out the whip, and I don't even have to throw a cup of water at him. It's fine. Like, for $300,000, I'm going to just go ahead and say, you know what? This is going to put the kids I don't have through college. Like, this is going to put more of that ridiculous $70 bag of dog food that I have for my dog in his bowl. Like, this is going to be what makes me go for quite a long time to come. So, yeah, UFC 300 this weekend, going to be very exciting. Damon, I know you're going to be checking that out, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be in attendance. I cannot wait. It starts at 3 o'clock, but this one, sometimes you roll in a little late. I know. I'm going to be there the first fight on the card. People, they're going to be butts in seats as soon as they ring the bell for that first fight. Cannot wait for UFC 300. Headline, Alex Padilla, Jamal Hill. If you want a little betting advice from me as we close out the Eye on Sports Betting, take Padilla by knockout. That's my prediction.